And so, Holy Spirit, come, hallow my words, that your people hear you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please be seated? I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing, my love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. And I will praise you, Lord, yes I will. Praise you, Lord, and I will sing of all that you have done. A joy that knows no limit, a likeness in my spirit, here in the grace of God I stand. I'm glad there are a few oldies like me. You remember it well. Well, that song came to mind as I thought, it's so wonderful when you meet someone who's just become a new Christian. I remember when Amanda became a Christian. We meet someone who's Jesus again, having had a drought, having had a desert period. Someone who's had a supernatural encounter with him and is just overflowing with their gratitude and love to God. It's wonderful, awe-inspiring, as you can see that person knowing that they are a new creation. As somebody said, one touch of the King changes everything. They know that something in their life has changed, something has shifted, that they're no longer the same and can never be the same again. Why? Because they've experienced the power and presence of Jesus. And this shines out of their very being. Self. Remember yourself as that new creation who thought everything was possible. Maybe you even thought you would completely differently because you had encountered the transforming presence of God. Because you'd encountered His grace. Then what happened to that new creation? Maybe the busyness of life crowded out the hope of change. Maybe the priority mindset changed from him to yourself or to your loved ones. Did cynicism or disappointment creep in to douse the enthusiasm and joy and wanting to worship him 24/7? Did the pull of the old, the habits and self-regarding concern of the past and of the flesh, just simply desire, overcome the desire to live the new life you know you were being called to live. A life of victory over sin, a life of victory over selfishness, a life of living for Father rather than living for myself. Did you just settle for coming to church on a Sunday? And just settle in the middle of week for trying to be as nice and ethical as you can in your workplace and amongst those you encounter through your friendship circles. Well, that could be a picture of me, of many of us here today. We've settled for being us, for being me, for you. That we can't really be the new creation that Jesus calls us to be. We know there's more, but we simply need to change to be a new creation. He knows where to find me. In other words, we pass the buck, the onus for change, back to him instead of pressing in to him, lifting up our eyes, as someone said, as Anthony said earlier, to the hills. Focusing on him. You see, in our first reading, St. Paul, writing to the Galatians, knew all about this. He sees that a constant battle is going on between our sinful nature and our spiritual nature. So he inspires us to go for the better deal of the spiritual nature, which brings joy
and peace and lasts for eternity. You'll reap whatever you sow. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. And he says it's not being religious that counts. It's not following religious traditions and habits that count in the same way that once people thought circumcision was vital. You couldn't be a true worshiper of God if you weren't circumcised. And Jesus comes and changes all that. And Paul has to forcibly teach his fellow Jews that this is no longer the case. That God wants a circumcision of the heart, not the circumcision of the flesh. Religious habits and traditions only matter insofar as they help us to draw closer to God. Help us to make us more aware of our need of God's presence, God's grace, God's love, God's Holy Spirit. And the really important thing is being made new. Becoming people who live and walk by the Spirit, who reject everything that would make them people of the flesh again. It's about being a new creation, as you heard in Galatians. And if we are that new creation, Jesus says in our gospel reading, if we're that new creation, how can we remain oblivious, blind to the huge harvest, ripe for gathering, that is all around us? You know, God's been waking me up, and he keeps saying, the harvest is coming, the harvest is coming. And I say, when, Lord? But he says, it's nigh, it's coming. And it's his sovereign act of grace. It's not my doing. He only calls us to pray. But he says, how can we remain oblivious, blind to the huge harvest ripe for gathering all around us? I don't need to tell you. You can see it yourself. There's so many tired, disillusioned souls all around us, all struggling to save themselves, struggling to make sense of their lives with their own wisdom. There was a huge celebration in London, Pride celebration yesterday. But actually, Christians should be having a celebration every day. We should be witnessing. It should be like a pride, a Christian pride, in the workplace, in wherever we find ourselves. Because we carry an everlasting joy and peace, which doesn't last for just one day. Those in the world know that their peace in the fickleness of pleasure, of power, of wealth. And I suspect many out there know that if they dared stop their frenetic lifestyles for a moment, they'd be faced with an overwhelming futility as they look at themselves in the mirror. Suicide rate among young men, especially. Many out there remain in a distracted, futile existence because they don't meet people who give them the good news. You and I. Jesus sums it up, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Because we are the laborers, brothers and sisters. We are the laborers. He calls us to be the new creation. And there are several characteristics of people who are the laborers, who are the new creation. The first is obedience to his word to go out into the harvest place, into the marketplace. We can't remain in these four walls. It's why we do prayer on the streets and prayer visiting. But we're having to think about that again. We can't get enough people to populate. Even if you can only do one Saturday a month, prayer visiting, prayer on the streets. We need your help because we've got to get out these four walls. But actually, it's not even for that. The most important place you can do it is in your office, your shop, your college. Just being a Christian witness there. Being the person who people know they can share their burdens with. And the person who will say, let's pray. I know someone who can help you. He's Jesus. We need to avoid our natural inclination to be with Christians all the time. We're all guilty of it. Cultivate and cherish those friendships with your non-Christian friends, because you are their witness. You are the person who can tell them about Jesus. How else will the non-Christian hear if not from the Christian? The second characteristic of people who are the new creation is that we need to trust to the Holy Spirit to guide us, give us the right words and divine assistance for the task. It's the Spirit who causes faith to arise, to come into being in people. It's not my brilliance or your brilliance. No, it's the presence of God. It's relying on the Jesus who says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Rely solely on me. You see, when we prayed just a moment ago for Rachel, not our skills. It's not our therapeutic ability. We're simply asking Papa and using the authority vested in us. We're relying on divine provision. And God doesn't make it complicated. The Old Testament reading set for today, which we haven't heard, is the healing of Naaman. Those of you who remember your Sunday school will remember this story. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, great mighty man of God, but he had leprosy. And one of his slave girls says, there is a prophet in Israel who can heal you. And so he sets off for Israel, and eventually via the king, he comes to Elisha. But he's indignant when Elisha tells him just to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored. Because he's left the rivers, mighty rivers of Damascus. And he can't believe or comprehend that something so straightforward can bring healing to him. But the servants approach him and say, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean? And he listens, thank God. He listens and he goes 7 times into Jordan, comes out and the leprosy is gone. Something very simple. And that's what reliance on Father is like. Learn to hear him and it's very simple. I think Amanda was hearing him when she just felt this urge. She said, we needed to pray for Rachel. Something very simple. Listen to the Spirit. He will give you the provision, the words to say for that encounter in the office, in the playground, wherever you find yourself. The third characteristic of the laborer, of the new creation, is person who focuses on their mission. Our gospel reading calls us to offer boldly the peace and salvation which Jesus is bringing, the kingdom of heaven. He who accepts in faith will receive and enjoy this peace and salvation for himself. God's peace will rest upon him, give them no blessing. In other words, your task and mine is just simply to proclaim, boldly proclaim God's peace and salvation. It's up to the hearers whether they respond or not. Your duty, your task is simply to, whether they accept him or not, it's up to them. But a fourth linked characteristic of the laborer is that there are people who walk in their inheritance, the power that God has spiritually clothed us with. You see, receiving the Holy Spirit means you have been clothed with his authority from on high. Jesus says, whenever you enter town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. What he meant was that the gospel needed to be preached with power, just as he did. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. What do disciples do? Follow their master. They do what he did. I know it's a hard ask. He went among strangers, cured the sick. But if you're his disciple, that's what he's calling you to be too as well. But how, you say? What if you're not visibly healed? I've prayed for somebody, they've not been healed. That's put me off praying for them again. Well, let's row back a step. The truth is that many of us never get to first base to pray for another person when they've shared with them. Many of us never get to first base. And then when we do pray for them, often we don't pray correctly, exercising the authority given to us, so that as the disciples summed it up, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Jesus says, see, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. We all fall into it from time to time. Lord, I pray for X, Y to be healed. No, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what the Bible says. He says, cure the sick, heal the sick, drive out demons. He's not asking us to pray Papa again. He says, walk in the authority vested in you and heal the sick. And so your prayer, I declare. Many of you will have heard the story of John Wimber, great man of God. But he had to pray over 1,000 times before he experienced a healing. Have you prayed 5 times? You see, until you've prayed 1,000 times, maybe, that's a long time. But he saw breakthrough after the 1,000th time, and he never looked back because he persevered. You have authority. You are a daughter, a son of the living God. He's placed his spirit within you. And he's calling you to exercise that authority. It's not just for the vicar or for the leaders of the church. It's for you. Because we're all a royal priesthood. And he's saying, exercise it. Many of us give in to the spirit of disappointment all too easily. I prayed for my loved one and nothing happened, or they died, or the situation didn't improve. We keep our eyes focused on him. As Anthony's words said, eyes focused. If we're going through the desert, we keep our eyes focused on him. We pray, notwithstanding, not seeing the result we want to see. Because he's the God of miracles. I can stand here and say that because I've shared this with you before. I had fallen, hurt myself. And we went to church in Florida, I remember. Swollen thigh. Absolutely painful. And in the worship, hands lifted up. He reached out and healed me. So I know he can heal. And then he healed a 10-year-old problem I'd had with my right knee. Never troubled me since. Because he said, not only have I healed the immediate accident, the result of it, but I've also healed your right ankle. So I wasn't even asking for healing, but he healed. How much more ask, the one of the songs we had on earlier, ask and you shall receive. Folk, unless we ask, we won't see. And he's asking you to bring the harvest in by being instant to pray for your colleagues, with the person at the bus stop, with the person on the train, with your friends when they share those painful needs with you. I know somebody who can help. His name is Jesus. When disappointment comes in and we'd feel... Was it my lack of expectation? Then again, how serious are we about wanting God for ourselves rather than what he can give to us? Sometimes we want to be able to heal others in his name, but not fully surrender our lives to him. He wants all of us. New creations in Christ are all these things. People who are obedient to God's word to make disciples. Who trust to God for the tools to make disciples who remain focused on preaching the good news, whatever's going on in their lives, and who use the gifts of the Spirit to do what Jesus taught. Mark shared before he went out, and I was marveling to myself because what he was sharing was the thrust of what Jesus, bring new wine out from me. That's what I'm saying today. Jesus, bring new wine out of each one of us. We are mature Christians, many of us. And he wants that new wine to flow, which brings drink, peace, love, satiation to the thirsty and hungry. Shall we pray?